Hi, this is Yarrow Stark from Entrepreneur's Journey, and today I have with me a special guest, Mr. Pete Williams. Hi, Pete. Thanks for joining me.
Morning, Yarrow. How are you?
Oh, great. Thanks. Pete's on the call because we're talking about publicity, and in particular, how we can use publicity to generate more traffic to our blogs. And Pete has a few stories to tell from the publicity world, but I'll let Pete tell his story and why he's qualified to talk about this subject. And hopefully by the end of the call, you can walk away with some things to do that will get you some traffic using the power of press. So, Pete, what's your background and why is it you can talk about publicity with some sense of authority?
Well, I guess the authority point comes into I've actually just experienced a lot of PR for myself. Over the last few years, for all my businesses, I have a number of different businesses, a few websites, a few what I refer to as real-world businesses in the bricks and mortar area of business. And I've just always used PR as one of the major tools to drive traffic either through the doors of the store or make the phone ring or obviously people to come to the site. And I've just continually refined the way that I've generated publicity and found it a really valuable tool for myself, and I'm now helping others use the tool for their own businesses and websites.
So what was the first time you sort of tapped into this source of exposure?
Yeah. And well, it's a very interesting story. Back when I was around about 21 years old, I actually sold Australia's version of the Yankee Stadium, the Melbourne Cricket Ground here in Australia. Basically, I was reading a book called The 1 Minute Millionaire, and it told the story of a couple of guys in the US one gentleman in the US who bought the timber that was the Brooklyn Bridge in Manhattan and sold it off into little certificates with the history of the Brooklyn Bridge and a small piece of the timber. Now, I thought that was a brilliant idea because the rumor has it he made a couple of million dollars out of it. That's pretty cool, a couple of million dollars out of selling someone else's trash. So I started to think how I could actually replicate that here in Australia. And the Melbourne Cricket Ground, which, as I said before, is Australia's version of Yankee Stadium, was under redevelopment. Made a few phone calls, found the wrecking company that was doing the demolition, bought all the timber that was part of the stadium, and also some of the crested carpet. They have a very prestigious members area in the stadium, and the actual carpet in the area had the crested logo all over it, and very, very ugly carpet, but very famous in Australia and cricketing countries as well. So turn them into a series of memorabilia with a photo of the MCG, a piece of that carpet framed up with the authentic timber, and turned around and started to sell it. Now, as I said, I was only 21 years old, so didn't have a huge marketing budget, but needed to get the word out about this opportunity for people to own a piece of history. So I decided to get in the PR path. You know, by getting a story in the media, whether it's TV or radio, in print as well, it's essentially free. All you have to do is invest a little bit of time, write a good press release, send it out, and you'll get stories and free advertising, essentially. So I wrote a press release with the headline being 21-year-old sells MCG for under $500, and the media just went absolutely nuts. I was on the nightly news shows around the country, in all the major newspapers and things like that, and just from there I've just, loved the idea of PR and used it for every venture I've been involved with, and since then I've a regular in the media here in Australia. It's pretty much not a month's gone by in the last couple of years that I haven't been featured in some form of media, whether it's a short radio interview or a full page in one of the business magazines. And I've now actually been referred to as Australia's Richard Branson in the media, I guess, given that very similar, I have a number of different businesses, but love the press.
And you could say that the reading of The 1 Minute Millionaire, which kicked off this whole idea and this whole experience you've had, was it really as successful as the book teaches? You think it's you practiced what it preached in that sense and got rewarded for that?
Oh, absolutely. I love that book. It's a book that I strongly recommend to anybody out there, whether they want to start an internet business or just start a little bit of business on the side to sort of, supplement their income or pay for a holiday. It's a brilliant book, a really good, enjoyable read, but it's got a number of good principles in there, and obviously taking trash to treasure is one of the ideas they touch on.
Mm. Yes, I read the book myself, but we'll continue on down the publicity path. So you obviously have benefited in terms of web traffic as well from the publicity.
Absolutely.
So you've not all been, because you actually used a website, didn't you, to sell the memorabilia as was it the main distribution point for that project?
That was. Obviously I had the phone call as well, trying to get people to actually pick up the phone and ring me and order straight away, but besides that, the main distribution was a website, and that's what I used the PR to do, is to generate traffic to the website. People could read a little bit more about it, read more of a sales pitch, so to speak, because obviously the press won't give you an actual sales pitch as such when they write an article about you. They'll just give you some credibility and, you know, third-party testimonials and halo effect, which we can probably touch on later, that will give you credibility and, you know, entice people to actually get off their butts and go to your website or your blog or whatever you are essentially pitching, where they can actually read a proper, you know, long-form sales letter or however you actually, you know, drive your sales.
Well, I've read, Pete sent me a copy of his, I guess it's a home study course on how to use publicity. And, you know, I actually found that this, even though you are saying that you can't get the press to actually do a sales pitch for you, I found some of the techniques you talked about there regarding almost them doing a sales pitch for you just by the way you craft, the interview, which I think we should touch on right now. But let's just bring it back to the focus of we are trying to get information for bloggers who want to take their blog and drive traffic using forms of publicity. Now, I think it's important to realize that I think a lot of these bloggers are sitting at home with, you know, they're talking about maybe their hobby or a passion, and there's not necessarily, you know, this amazing Richard Branson style story behind it. So we really need your help to try and figure out the ways we can leverage our everyday story for publicity. So let's just jump into it. So I'm sitting at home, I'm writing my blog about, you know, I've got this amazing garden at home and I talk about gardening on my blog and I want to get some traffic through publicity for it. What's the process that do I go through?
Well, I guess the first thing is to work out, you know, I guess it's more of a holistic sort of view in that you've got to, you know, consider this is that if you're writing about a niche area, as the example you used was gardening there, obviously people who actually spend time on the web reading blogs about gardening also will most likely be going down to their local news agency and buying magazines and trade journals and, you know, other sort of, you know, media to read about gardening as well. You know, someone who likes gardening on and offline. They don't just like gardening online. So you've got to consider that those people read other forms of media as well, and this is what you want to target. So the first step is to really work out, okay, who is your target market and where do they also, you know, get their information from besides online blogs? And this would be like, you know, Home Garden magazine, Home Beautiful magazine, the gardening section of the local national newspaper or something like that. So the first step is to work out, okay, what am I trying to target and what am I trying to do? So that's the first part. We've worked out who you're trying to target, you know, gardening readers who read other magazines. And the next step is working out, okay, what am I going to try and pitch here? Now, obviously, you know, the best thing is to sort of try and pitch an article or a story about, you know, different online blogs or about your particular take on something in that particular niche. Maybe you blog about a great way to make your roses last that extra month longer in the winter or whatever it might be. So that's simply just, you know, all your blog posts could essentially be different PR articles because, you know, the magazines out there do write stories about, you know, how to keep your garden, you know, lasting longer or whatever it might be. And you just simply pitch yourself as an expert in that area because you have a blog with 5,000 readers or whatever it might be. You are perceived as an expert in that industry. So that's sort of where you can, I guess, start off from a holistic point of view.
Okay, and I know from my own experience with a little bit of press, I haven't focused on it, but and you covered this in your training program with the hook, which is a very common phrase in the publicity world, is to find that hook, the reason why. And I think you know, for me, it was always a case, it's a human interest story. Everyone wants to know the human interest side of the story, which, or at least the journalists seem to always look for that angle when it comes to finding a good story. So, as a blogger, and if we're, let's say even take a step further back, we haven't even got 5,000 readers a day yet, so we can't necessarily go, you know, I'm already demonstrating my expertise, I want to work my way up to being an expert, and let's talk about the halo effect too. So how do you start using the press to perhaps first form the halo if you haven't necessarily been able to establish it yet? Okay. And probably tell us what the halo is too.
It's probably a good place to start.
Yep.
What the halo effect is, it's essentially, a third-party testimonial or endorsement. Because, for example, if you are I'll take it a little bit left center. Say you're selling something online. I know it's a bit off the topic here, but what you want to do is you want to be perceived as the expert so people actually will open their wallets and purchase things. Now, if you can, on your sales letter online or in whatever sort of, even on your blog as well, say, as seen in the Herald Sun, the New York Times, Gardening Roses Weekly or whatever it might be, it gives you that perceived halo above your head as being the expert or the industry leader, so you can actually turn around and use that in other forms of marketing. You know, for example, I mentioned earlier that I've been referred to as Australia's Richard Branson. That's a halo effect because I didn't say it. Someone else said it about me. So that's sort of where the halo effect comes in. So if you can turn on your blog and sort of say, oh, look, I've, you know, been featured in this magazine and that, you know, radio show and things like that, gives you the extra bit of credibility that, you know, will entice people to actually subscribe to the RSS feed or actually get on your email list if you have one on your blog or whatever it might be. So that's where the halo effect comes into it. So what you want to try and do is actually, you know, just find the angle and the hook of what you can actually talk about. Maybe it's you've won a recent award for your gardening or you've found a really neat way to actually get stains out of carpet and that's what your blog's about, whatever it might be. It's a bit of a human interest story about how you actually came across that idea or that solution to the problem, and the magazines would love that and pick it up and write articles about you, and obviously no doubt they'll, you know, credit your blog and who you are, and people eventually come to your site and subscribe to your RSS feeds, which I guess is what it's all about.
Right. Okay, so there's a fairly clear, almost like a self-reinforcing relationship there. You get some credibility, which brings you more traffic, which gives you another platform to jump on to get more publicity, to get more credibility, to get more traffic. So if you can just tap into that first bit of exposure, you can almost run with that process and do it over and over again. Would that be correct?
That's exactly right. We get that one little bit, and that's where you can always start. You start with your local media, you know, just a local, you know, newspaper and things like that, and you slowly grow and you leverage off that and you leverage off that. In a similar way you do, I guess, you get your blog traffic. You get, you know, one subscriber who tells a friend who tells another friend, and you, you know, post another blog, and you just, all it's about just a flow-on effect, really.
Hey, well, let's jump back to the gardening example. So we're a brand new gardening blog. We've done a bit of time working on a blog, and we put some great articles in there, and we've decided we're going to do a publicity campaign. That's the angle we want to try because it just takes energy, and, you know, Pete's convinced us that the traffic can be quite lucrative at very, well, no cost besides time. And we've gone to the newsagent, we found some trade journals, some magazines, perhaps we even found a few, you know, newsletters and so forth, maybe some paper newsletters. And we found some targets basically where we know if we got in there, we would be rewarded with traffic. What's the process we'd go through to then, you know, give us the best chance of actually getting featured in a magazine like that?
Well, it's a pretty simple process. As you said, Yara, it's simply just an investment of time to actually write a strong press release. What a press release is, essentially, it's a pitch for you as an interview. A lot of people teach you, a lot of people try and write press releases to actually get printed word for word in the particular, you know, media, whether it's the magazine or whatever it might be. And I think that's a really big mistake, because if someone actually writes a press release and the journalist enjoys what you've written and then just prints it word for word, that's the amount of exposure you're going to get. You're going to get a little column or a short little call-out box somewhere buried in the magazine. So what you want to do before you actually write the press release is keep in mind that what you're trying to pitch is you as an interview. All a press release actually is a sales letter, and you're trying to sell you as an expert on a particular topic to be interviewed on that topic. So you write a press release. The biggest thing of a press release, just like a sales letter, is the headline. You want to create a headline that's actually going to stand out and get the journalist's attention. So if I can try and think off the top of my head, you know, local Melbourne woman finds secret to making roses last 6 months longer, or, you know, three times brighter, or whatever
giant
it might
potatoes.
Be. Yeah, exactly. You hear about it all the time, the guy who's, you know, growing the world's largest tomato or something bizarre like that. So that's the hook. And your hook is essentially your headline. So you've got to pick something strong, will grab the reader, grab the journalist's attention. They will say, yep, the readers want to actually read about this. And then in the body of the press release, you simply just, you know, quote yourself a little bit to show that, you know, you're happy to be quoted in a newspaper article or on the radio, and give a little bit more information about what it is, you know, the who, why, where, when, how style of writing. And at the end, you put a big, bold, blatant pitch for you as an interview. Now, Yara Starik is an expert on blogging and is more than happy to, you know, have interviews about this particular topic, or, you know, a bit more articulate than that, essentially. But at the end, just pitch yourself as an interview.
Okay, so you've got your press release, and what's the process of actually getting it to a journalist?
Well, there's a number of different ways. Once you've done your press release, which I should also mention, it should only be one page long. You don't want to make it more than two pages, otherwise the journalist will just look at it and go, nah, not enough time to read that, they'll throw it out. So if you get a one-pager, and preferably double-spaced as well, so you don't have to write much. It's one of the biggest things you have to overcome as well, is a lot of people get scared about, well, what the heck am I going to write in this press release? If you think about it, one page double-spaced is only half a page worth of normal text. So you don't have to write that much. It's to be short and sharp. Now, once you get that, there's a number of different ways you can get it out to the hands of the journalists. The way that I generally do it is simply just via fax or email. There's a number of services, you know, around the world that actually will distribute press releases for you, so you can pay them a small fee and tell them who you want to actually, you know, get in the hands of. I want this to hit all the, you know, gardening journalists in the country or whatever it might be, and pay a small fee, and they'll actually distribute it for you, which again is not a bad way to go if you're willing to actually or wanting to invest a little bit of money, because it again just gives you that little bit more credibility that you know what to do, you know how to actually handle the media. If it comes from someone like in Australia, AAP MediaNet, or there's a number of, you know, different companies around the world, it just implies that you know what you're doing, that you've done this before, that you're a professional, seasoned, you know, media expert. So they again say, okay, this person's going to be a good interview because they know how to play the game. If you don't want to go in the path of actually investing money, there's nothing wrong with this. And the way I get a lot of my media is going directly to the actual journalist myself rather than using a third-party distribution company. So simply going through these journals that you've purchased that you mentioned earlier from the news agents, or even going on online and trying to find the websites of the publishers of the various trade journals, magazines, producers of the radio shows you want to be featured on, grab their fax and email and simply just send them out the press release. It's a pretty simple process, just to invest a little bit of time, find their contact details and send the press release out. Now, another way you can... Sorry, go ahead.
With the approach of faxing or sending it through an email as an attachment or whatever, I always have this sort of skepticism that it's going to hit some sort of filtering mechanism, perhaps, you know, an admin assistant sitting there which is going delete to every single press release. What is that? You know, is there something you can do to enhance your chance of actually getting through to the person who should be reading your press release, or is it just sort of a bit like potluck? If your headline's interesting enough, it might make it through.
There's a number of different ways you can, I guess, slice it up a little bit. If you want to invest a lot of time, you know, what you can always do is take that extra step and call a journalist first. Hi, it's Susan here. I've got a great idea for a story about this particular topic, about how I can get my tomatoes to be three times larger than the largest apple or whatever sort of random, you know, hook you come up with. And then, you know, are you interested in hearing about this? And the journalist says, yes. Okay, great. Let me email something to you. So don't take up too much of their time. Just touch base first. You know, make sure this is a bit of an angle. They say yes, and then shoot it through. And always, you can obviously follow up as well. If you have the journalist's phone number, give them a call. Did you get this release? Did you like it? Have you had a chance to read it? So you can always do that sort of if you want to take it, you know, the next step. But in, you know, direct response to your question is, yeah, absolutely. Quite often there are, you've got the admin assistant or someone going through the emails, going delete. So you got to obviously make sure that your hook's strong enough. And this is the brilliance too. Unlike normal, you know, direct mail pieces or traditional advertising magazines where you have to actually pay and pray that it actually works, you're spending the money and hoping you'll get a response, seeing a couple of faxes out takes you half an hour, you know, in total from writing to sending, you know, maybe half an hour. Spend half an hour a week, you might get, you know, one journalist might pick it up. You're not going to get every journalist who receives a release calling you for an interview. But it's about a consistent sort of continually, you know, sending faxes on a weekly basis to the same journalist, because eventually something's going to stick. So that's really important.
Okay.
One other thing I always find that's really handy is I actually tend to send faxes more than emails these days. With spam filters and, you know, email being so easy, everyone tends to send emails. So journalists' inbox absolutely flooded. Spam filters catch a lot of it, and it can just get lost really quickly. Whereas because faxes are not that... that well used anymore, if you do send a fax, it stands out. Like, I know myself, when I actually get some hard written ink on paper mail, I'm very surprised and I jump to open it these days because no one sends mail anymore.
Right, well, and what fax, about, is a snail mail approach potentially something you could do as well?
I've never actually tried it, to be honest. I think there is some huge grounds to do that. If you're going to send a bit of a larger sort of press packet, which some people can do, where you send some photos and some samples and stuff, absolutely the snail mail is a way to go, but the only issue with snail mail is it's 3 or 4 days in the post, and you know, quite often if you're trying to be really topical, 3 or 4 days is too late. You know, one of the best ways to get PR is to actually write releases about things that are actually topical. So if you find an article or a story in the media about something to do with your niche, within half an hour you can get your comment out there and try and get some follow-up response and follow-up exposure. So unfortunately snail mail gives you that 3 or 4 days lead time, which isn't always the best to jump on stuff that's actually topical.
Okay. Before we move on to the next step, I am very curious, being a person who's investigated a lot of time into growing blog traffic, publicity is a term, you know, people will suggest quite often, get some publicity for your blog. And then the very common advice given immediately after that is, if you want publicity, go to the website prweb.com and use their press release distribution service to send out your press release. And, you know, if you'd like, spend $200 for their premium package, which I think you get a podcast interview with yourself as well, and they send it to more outlets. I don't know the particulars of that service, but I've always been, I've used their free service before. I haven't used their paid service, but I'm really curious what your opinion is, Pete, on, in particular, PR Web, since it's recommended over and over and over again on the internet.
Yeah, I think PR Web has its spot. In terms of getting a lot of actual physical journalists giving you a call, I don't think it's great for that, to be honest. I think it's fantastic for like link building and lead, because obviously you send the release out through PR Web, but it sort of gets filtered across the web, and you can obviously get, you know, extra links and things like that, which is really handy and get a bit more exposure. I've never actually had any success with it for an actual journalist giving me a call. I've found the odd other blog has read it and wanted to do an interview or something like that, which is really handy, which again is another form of PR. If you drill it down, all a blog is, it's another form of media, like a newspaper or a magazine. So if you can get other bloggers to write about you as well, that's just as powerful, or the same sort of thing as a magazine doing an article too. So
right.
I think PR Web's really good for that, to get other people in the blogosphere and, you know, the web to actually find out about you. But to get, you know, real-world journalists, which is what I refer to the people who actually sit behind a desk in a big building with other people, writing about, you know, yourself in, like, you know, real tangible magazines and things, I don't think it's great for that. Another reason is because it's so flooded these days. Because everyone is using it, it's hard to sort of, you know, rise above and stand out.
Right. So if you had $200 to spend on PR, what would be the better avenue?
I'd be looking at your local country and just sort of doing some searches for some media distribution companies. And I'd be looking for someone who actually goes direct to journalists. That's a big thing that PR Web doesn't do. It sort of just filters it across the web, not to actual direct journalists. There are a number of companies out there, you know, hundreds, and obviously in your own country is the best to do a bit of research. Oh, wait, check out my blog if you were interested, because I regularly update that with different, you know, ideas and stuff, which is just renegadepublicist.com/blog. So check out there, there'll be links there to different companies. But these companies will actually send it directly to the desk of the journalist, directly to their inbox, directly to their private fax numbers, and it'll actually land on their desk,
right,
rather than the journalist having to actually go and search the web to try and find something, which they don't have time for. It's better to spend the money to get something to actually send directly to their desk, like a company like AFP here in Australia.
Will $200 actually buy you something like that, like you're describing?
Or absolutely.
Or you need thousands, no?
No, absolutely. I did just a couple of people the other day were sort of, you know, laughing at me when I said I could actually get some media exposure within an hour. And when I actually did the challenge and got response within about 20 minutes, they were amazed. And the whole thing cost me $55. So here in Australia, there's a service called AAP MediaNet that does this exact sort of distribution I'm referring to. And they had a special on that week for $55. They sent you a release to all the top editors and journalists around the country. And a couple of hundred received my press release. Within 20 minutes, I had a phone call back from a journalist wanting a live radio interview about the topic. So I actually, in that case, used a third-party company, cost me $55, and got exposure within 20 minutes. So,
what was the topic for that one, Pete, just out of curiosity?
It was about politics, actually. There's an election coming up here in Australia, and the challenge was for me to actually get some exposure on a topic that I'm not normally an expert on. Most of the regular media exposure that I get is all about business building and marketing and things like that, whereas politics is something I know very little about. So I wrote a press release about one of the politicians here in Australia and tied it back with my expertise, so I'd still get the credibility of the journalist saying, okay, I can see why he's wanting to talk about this. And it was just simply a press release talking about Kevin Rudd, who's one of the politicians, you know, running for the prime ministership and leadership here in the country in a couple of months, and about how he's a really smart marketer. So I tied politics back into my expertise, which is marketing. So something that's topical with my expertise, and got exposure within 20 minutes, all for the cost of $55.
Right, so no one should have any excuse for finding an angle. Everyone's got an angle for any topic, provided you can tie it back into whatever it is you're focusing on. So
that's exactly right. And that's where you can always, that's one of the biggest secrets too, is you can always send regular press releases out purely about your topic, and hopefully that the journalist will go, yep, I've got, you know, a spare spot in the particular magazine this month, and I'll write an article about that. But a real secret is to try and tie your expertise onto topical issues. So you should continually read the newspaper and, you know, whatever the hot topic is at the time, whether it's global warming or whether it's you know, the political, you know, polls that are happening at the moment, whatever it might be, try and find a way to actually tie your expertise to that topic, you're guaranteed almost publicity.
So we've gone to the point now where we've distributed our press releases and we've got a journalist interested in doing an interview about whatever it is we blog about. What's the next sort of smart thing we can do to maximize what we get from this experience?
Well, one of the biggest secrets that I teach, which a lot of people don't normally do and find really powerful, is by actually helping the interviewer interview you. And what I mean by that is actually helping them craft the questions to actually discuss with you, because a lot of journalists are very busy. This is particularly works well for live radio interviews, is you find that it'll be the producer who goes, yep, we're going to put this on the show, and the guy who's actually live on air, the DJ, so to speak, really has no say in what's actually being, you know, spoken about on his show. He's just there, you know, doing what the producer's telling him to do. So if you can actually send them a question and answer sheet with some suggested questions for your interview, it's a very high chance that they'll actually just literally get this question and answer and ask you those questions verbatim live on air. It happens to me so regularly because the journalists are so busy. If you provide them with four or five questions about your particular topic, some edgy ones there too, so it looks like the DJ is actually being transparent and playing a bit of devil's advocate, there's a very high chance they're going to ask you those questions directly, and then you can pitch your product the way you want to pitch it without being nervous because you know what questions are going to be asked.
I can see how you would have been able to manipulate an interview into a sales pitch by just giving them the right questions in that case.
Exactly. It works. It's amazing because a lot of people sort of who tend to think, oh, well, you know, what happens if the journalist just starts asking random questions and I don't know what to say? And that can make it very nerve-wracking. But if you talk to the journalist beforehand and say, hi, sir, or, you know, hi, ma'am, I've got some actual suggested question answers which might help for you, you know, organizing your interview, would you like me to send them across? Of course, they're going to say yes. If you can actually help them make their job easier, and make the interview go better and sound more effective and articulate, they're going to love you for it. So you send them this, you know, question and answer sheet, and just sit back and you're confident knowing that how you're going to respond to the questions that are asked, and you can lead them in a certain direction too. So the very last question is, okay, how do we find out more information? Or tell me your blog address. Or you can get them asked questions that forces you to answer them with, oh well, if you check out my blog at this and that. It just, you know, it's going to get into the interview.
And that's an important consideration because I know a lot of press will often, without, you know, really considering it, not link to your website or not put in the information that actually, that actually connects that piece of press to your website. And obviously, you know, without that, you're really not getting the direct reward. There's no call to action that brings the person to your site and gets you some traffic. So that's probably something that you really want to do, is prepare those questions so you actually get the potential for a link, which is like a real world link on the internet. In this case, it's a link that someone's saying on radio or in a print magazine. So
exactly. Okay. And the biggest thing too, if you offer an ebook on your website or some sort of free downloadable report, whatever it might be, the journalists are going to be more than happy to actually, you know, plug your website then, because you're actually offering something of value to their readers. If you're simply trying to say, you know, go to my website and buy my stuff, or, you know, if you're offering a blog or pushing a blog or an ebook or something like that, the journalists are going to be more than happy to say, if you want more information about this, check out Pete's blog at, or check out Yarrow's blog at, because you're offering more information, which is what, you know, the actual articles in the magazines and the radio interviews are all about, is about providing information, education. So that's where, you know, promoting a blog can be really, really effective.
I like the idea about an ebook too. I know one of the things I'm always telling my blogging students is they need some, and actually, you know, I call this a hook too. I guess it's the terminology is everywhere. Some form of hook that will A, bring people to your site, but B, whenever you do something like this, you do have a leverage point. You can say, you know, because sometimes just saying go check out my blog for more information isn't as compelling as go download my free ebook on the 7 steps on how to do this, as a much more stronger call to action. So,
sorry, really quickly, two more things I really want to touch on. If you have got an ebook, in your press release, refer to yourself as author. Gives you more credibility. Even a little ebook essentially means you're an author. So in your press release, you say, author of the book, 7 steps to making your tomatoes twice as large. Gives you that credibility for the journalists again. And also, if you happen to come across an article that's, you know, been written about you after an interview that doesn't actually give you a link to your website or something like that, don't go off and start, you know, saying publicity doesn't work. Turn around, post it on your blog, and say, look, I've been featured in this magazine. That's where you can get the credibility and halo effect. So even if you do get exposure and without direct links, it's not a total waste of your time and effort, because you can still use that to actually give more credibility and build trust online, because you've got a third-party endorsement by a real-world, tangible media outlet.
And does that help you get more publicity by taking the fact that, you know, I was featured in this publication? When you're approaching another publication, are they likely to look on that as a good thing or a bad thing, because they don't want to cover someone else's story that's already been covered?
No, they absolutely love it. If you think about all the current affair shows, like, you know, Current Affair or Today Tonight here in Australia, every second night there's the same stories. Every sort of, they just repeat the same stories. If you look at the actual magazines on a particular, like women's magazines, every single edition of Clio or Cosmo is exactly the same. Weight loss, how to make your man love you more, how to get ahead in your job. Every magazine has the same articles over and over again, just with a slightly different hook. That's what you've got to keep doing, is every week find a slightly different hook for your particular topic and keep plugging that out there.
Okay. So as a wrap-up here, for if anyone hasn't taken notes yet, now's a good time to start. I just want to quickly summarize. So you're obviously deciding you are going to run a publicity campaign of some sort. So you're going to decide your target outlets, whether that's offline or online or both, find out the media points you want to get coverage in and get their contact details, or decide if you're going to use a publicity service to do the distribution for you. Get your press release written. Now, we haven't really touched on the really in-depth tips of actually producing a press release, besides having a compelling headline, which in itself could be something that could be taught for half an hour or more. Distributing your press release, the goal to keep in mind is to get an interview from that press release. So like you said, it's a sales pitch for you as a good interview subject. Obviously having some kind of hook, preferably with, well, I won't say it's only human interest, but human interest I find works well. And then once you've got the interview, prepare some questions, if you have the time to do that, to give to the journalist, so that they are not only find the job easier interviewing you, but also so you can somehow manipulate the interaction so you get a better result in terms of traffic. And that really completes the circle. And of course, once you've got your publicity, stick that onto your blog, onto your website, onto anything you do to enhance your credibility. You get that halo effect that you're talking about, which then leads to more publicity. Sounds about right?
That's about it, and it's a lot easier than a lot of people think.
Yeah, it does. You just, four steps right there. That wasn't very hard. So.
No.
It doesn't cost a cent. So let's just jump into the reason this call came about was the home study course that Pete's put together, and I had a listen and a read of it. Just tell us about it. It's called The Power of Publicity, or Unleashing the Power of Publicity, a guide to making bucket loads of cash with free publicity. And there's a picture of Pete there at the Melbourne cricket ground there. I think I'm looking at it right now. We've got 7 interviews on audio with, not just interviews, as you talking about press coverage, as well as some interviews with people. And then, of course, there's the manual itself, which really goes through the nuts and bolts, everything we talked about. In fact, I think if you ever wanted to know more about what exactly goes into a press release, this is certainly a manual that will answer that question for you, because I know when I sat down to write my own press releases, you sort of think the how, the why, the who, the what. But I love the fact that you had these points where, okay, you can use, you know, this sort of topic as a hook, and then there's this option. So there's, you know, there's the current news, there's the there's a lot of them in here.
Amazing story. There's the secret revealed. Same sort of things in sales letters almost, and that's
right.
What I've really packed into the whole, not only just the audio, but actually the main manual as well, is really dive into every single different type of hook you can have and give you examples and ideas to try and spark your own imagination of how you can align your particular niche to one of those hooks.
Yeah, just definitely the biggest benefit I think of the manual is the press release construction, because I think that's the key. I think everything else is sort of almost rudimentary, in the sense you got to go through the processes of getting everything distributed and contacting the right people, but it's all leveraged on the fact you have a press release that can convert. If you don't get that right, doesn't matter how much sort of door knocking you do with every other way of contacting a journalist, you just will never get them interested without that really powerful press release. So that's my number one recommendation, Pete, I think, in what you did. I really found the audio interesting as well, especially some of the talk about getting press overseas for us here in Australia, in the United States, and how big the market is there. And it really I think for me, just opened a door on how easy this is and then how free. I know, being someone who's tapped into the blogosphere, I've seen a few of the really high-profile blogs get some publicity, but they get it as a result of them just being the most well-known. So if, you know, a journalist goes proactively searching for them online, so most bloggers are not really taking any steps to get publicity, which makes me think that even, you know, someone who doesn't consider themselves famous or an expert or top of their field yet would still enjoy success by simply taking the steps we've just presented in this call, and they would probably convert at least one or two interviews of some sort, which can lead to some serious traffic rewards, and it's a free way of doing it. So I think anything else you want to include there, Pete, about your home study course before we finish the call up?
In terms of what else is in it, pretty much covers most of it. There's all the CDs and things. There's also a couple of critique certificates. So as you go about, you know, constructing your own press releases, send them through to me. I'm more than happy to review them and give you some personal feedback of how to actually ensure you are, you know, doing it right and getting the most leverage you can. But also, too, I wanted to let everyone know about a free ebook, funnily enough, on my own website.
Practicing what he preaches.
That's it. There's an ebook and actually a free download audio as well on my website, which is renegadepublicist.com. So if you go there, I think, you know, Yara probably put a link on the blog somewhere about how to get through to that. You actually download a free ebook, which pretty much covers a lot of the stuff that's in the manual. It covers all the major hooks you can actually target with your media, and probably enough to get a bit of exposure purely from that without having to invest the money in the home study course if you don't want to. I just want to see people actually, you know, get experience and get exposure more than anything else. So there's the free ebook and the actual audio interview as well, which goes for about an hour with myself and a gentleman by the name of Dale Beaumont, who runs one of the country's leading, you know, publicity companies here, and also is the author of about 11 books now, I think, too. So it's a really powerful interview of us just going through.
That was a good interview. Yeah, I did enjoy that interview. Yeah, I'll include all the links to everything Pete's talking about along with this audio, and I'll get a link out to for anyone who's interested in actually getting a hold of the home study course as well. I might even get a little review up, as I like to do on my blog. So that's great, Pete. Thanks for joining me on the call. And
well, enjoyed it.
And as always, if anyone's interested in more podcasts or of course wants to find the links to everything we've talked about today, my blog is at entrepreneurs-journey.com. And I hope everyone got something out of the call. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.